I'm glad he chose to use. It's a testimony. I promised God when I graduated from college, and that's a miracle in itself, that if I had opportunity, I would say basically this way, if I can do it, anybody can do it. You're not looking at the smartest bulb in the pack. The elevator doesn't go all the way up, and any other comments you might have about it. My guidance counselor in high school, when I told him I was applying to college, he said, you're wasting your money. Back then it was $20 application fee. He said, you're wasting your money. Nobody will take you into college. Amen. And I managed to get 8 years of college and a master's degree and a bachelor's degree. You're looking at an educated idiot. You can laugh. You can laugh. I look in the mirror and I find happiness. The educated idiot in front of me. We need to raise up some mighty men and women and young people for God. And don't let handicaps hold you back. Don't let it stop you. We can do great things for God. I enjoyed that singing. My problem was my wife wanted to know if it was a trio singing. You two plus me, because I was singing right along. And I want to run up and grab the mic, you know. Yeah, would have been that way. I'm here to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? Undeserving, that's what we are. We ought to thank him, love and praise him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. God is great. Take your Bibles, and we're going to ramble with Reb for just a little bit, okay? Ramble with Reb. What does that mean? I have no idea where I'm going, where I'm going to be, and I want you to just come along for the ride. We're going to ramble here and there. We're going to go from spot to spot. I've got a whole set of pretty notes. Would you like those in Technicolor? Make sure I say where I'm at. Misspelled words and all right there. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Title of the message while you're turning is We Faint Not. We faint not. And I know every once in a while people will say, well, you've always had it easy, you've always had it good, so forth and so on. Life has not always been a bed of roses. And there's always thorns in the bed of roses. And life has had its difficulties. And I learned a long time ago that little verse of Scripture, we faint not. And so I want to just share a couple testimonies, about our experience as husband and wife, our experience as pastor, and it hasn't always been easy. It's always been good. It's always been enjoyable, but it hasn't always been easy. And somewhere along the line, somebody instructed me concerning the biblical principle that says, we faint not. Nehemiah chapter 2, and the last verse in that chapter, when Nehemiah said, the God of heaven, that's who's going to bless you. Preacher's going to help you find the God of heaven to bless you. But the preacher's not going to bless you. The God of heaven's going to bless you. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. God's going to bless you. You're standing in a miracle right now. Amen. You're standing in a miracle. In a few more days, a week or two, this is going to be a completed miracle. But then you've got to start looking for another miracle. And another miracle. And another miracle. And God wants to continue to do some things. And he needs to hear us say, we faint not. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we've had our fair share of fainting. We've had our fair share of opportunity to faint. Found this verse, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will rise and build. Remember some years ago, our building burnt down? It burnt down. We had bought the building, and we're like most Baptists, our insurance wasn't paid up but 4 days before the fire came. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will rise and build. That's that last verse in Nehemiah chapter 2, okay? The God of heaven, he'll prosper us. I get a phone call 3 o'clock in the morning. Rev, that's what people call me, okay, Rev. When you hear Rev, it's me. When you hear Ma, that's the lady in the back with the 5 curls in her hair. Got the phone call. Rev, your building's on fire. And I thought to myself, I'm sound asleep. I don't want to go over. Let me get a garden hose. I'll jump in the car. I'll ride over to the church. I'll hook it up to the neighbor's building, and I'll put the fire out. No big deal. When I got over there, there was a half a dozen fire trucks, and you could read your Bible. The fire was that much ablaze. Somebody came into the building. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. But we faint not. If I had thrown up my hands and said, God, what good is it? But the God of heaven knew what he was doing. And in the midst of trials and tribulations and heartaches and grief, we will not faint. We will not faint. We had a Christian school there with 98 students in it. But the school building, the church building, burnt down. What happened? I can't imagine if somebody got upset with me. Somebody didn't like me. You're not laughing, but if you knew me, you would kind of find, yeah, I can understand that. But anyway, it was a couple teenagers. They got mad at me. And so they went out and got gas. And after they worked, they were working a great adventure. After they got done a great adventure, they went up to the building. A little bit after 12, poured gasoline on the pulpit. On the pulpit. Over here was, we had a Christian ACE school. Over here was a closet and had some material in it. And over here was another closet. And they poured gasoline on those three places. You said, well, how do you know that's what they did? When the fire marshal came in on Monday morning with his little, I call it a Geiger counter, but it's not a Geiger counter, and you stick it in where the hydrocarbons are, and it hits that, it starts lighting and making all kinds of noise. And he said, Rev, what is over here? I said, that's where the pulpit was. He said, that's where they poured most of the gas. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will rise and build. We faint not. It's not the time to get discouraged. It's not the time to, we faint not. And I'm looking at a group of people who look pretty live. Amen? I didn't come with smelling salts. I came with the word of God. We faint not. You need to say to your preacher, we faint not. Amen. We faint not. Somebody's going to ask you tomorrow, what'd you do last night? We went to church. Amen. And if you had Brother Joe Kaiser here, you had the nuts of all nuts. You had him. Nobody can come close. But there it was. Somebody's going to ask, what was it like? It was great. Brother Kaiser came and preached and preached and preached and preached. Amen? The lost and dying world needs to know that. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing you and I know. It's a grand thing to follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere we go. For it's a grand thing to be a what? A wimp in his army? No, it's the grandest thing to be a soldier in his army. And we need to raise up, once again, some mighty soldiers. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. There we were. School children coming in. My wife stayed outside. I was kind of examining the inside of the building. Smelled, stunk of smoke and soaking wet and all that kind of stuff. Now what are we going to do? They burnt the church down. The church was housed for our Christian day school. Now what do you do? Huh. I said to my wife, guess what? We're having school in our home. We lived in a 6-bedroom house at the time. Guess what we're going to do? The first floor will be like for kindergarten. Second floor will be for first, second, third grade. Fourth grade and up, went in another building. But we had school for 13 months. In our home, in our house. One day I came home, I had to use the restroom, and we had made the restroom upstairs, the girls' room, and the restroom downstairs, had the bathroom upstairs and downstairs, that was the boys' room. I didn't know. I went running up, and our bedroom was up on the second floor. I went up there, and I'm in the bathroom. I'll be out in a minute. And I hear this little girl say, Rev's in the girls' room, Rev's in the girls' room, Rev's in the girls' room. I said, I live here. You know, it's all right. We faint not. And in the times of trials and tribulations, and they will come. What do they say? You're either in one, through one, or going into one. You know, the trials come. But we need to say, God, we faint not. Nehemiah was convinced with all the trials and all the tribulations, with the walls being burnt and walls being torn down, and we put a big sign up for Nehemiah and said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will rise and build. Amen? And our church folks built a log cabin in New Jersey. The main sanctuary and the main part of the building is a log cabin. God blessed us in a mighty way. Somebody called up and said, I've got something for you, Rev. I said, yeah, okay. What do you got? He gave me a lunch bag. Okay? Maybe it was a tuna fish sandwich. I like tuna fish. So he gave me the lunch. I said, let me, and he left, and I took the bag downstairs into the building, and I opened it up, and there was a bunch of money in there. There was close to or over $5,000. Let's just say $5,000. Wow. In the lunch bag. And later on, or a couple days went by, he said, Rev, would you mind if I did that again? I said, can I get one with mustard and a little mayonnaise? You know, can you just fix it? And the fellow did it again. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. We faint not. Don't get in a place where you start to faint when God's just a step away from blessing you. I mean, that fire was devastating, but it was a blessing in disguise. So my wife put up 13 months of having all these youngsters run through the building. Amen? Wouldn't you love that? We had school there. We faint not. What do you do with the kids in the summertime? For 8 weeks, we had summer camp. Brother Joe was going to come? Well, when we had summer camp, we had 50 kids at our house. We had a swimming pool on one side of the backyard. There was 50 acres there. We had one swimming pool. It wasn't ours. They were letting us use it. Oriental family said, fine, you use. That's fine. You use for Jesus. You fine. That's fine. And so they let us use it. And we were able to have camp there for 8 weeks. It was exciting, but it was also, how would you like to have all those youngsters run into your restroom? Oh, it's exciting. We had a horse and two ponies we kept in the garage. What I'm trying to say to you, it is worth it all. It will be worth it all. God has a program and plan for this place. Somebody once said, there's no place like this place, near this place, so this must be the place. Amen. And you do not well if you don't go out and tell somebody. This is the place. Yeah. This is where you go to church. Yeah. This is where you honor God. This is where your family is nurtured and raised. Let somebody know. Let somebody somewhere, somehow, let them know. Any way you possibly can. Carry your tracks. Amen? I'm a frustrated artist. I don't know if I said that to you a minute ago or not, but I am a frustrated artist. Always wanted to be, you know, draw Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, all that kind of stuff. And I thought when I graduated from high school, I could be an artist. I applied to Pratt Institute in New York City. They laughed at me. I don't know if they did, but they kind of like laughed at me. You know, don't do. So I always wanted to be. So even to this day, I want to be kind of like. So what I do in the restaurant, did I ever draw a lighthouse with you? I draw a lighthouse. Lighthouses are easy to draw. I could give you a demonstration, and in 15 minutes, I could have you, John, whoever that artist was for many years. Anyway, I could have you to be a first thing. Just draw some straight lines, put a little light on top, some little ocean here, a few birds going there. And if you do it in a restaurant, they're really impressed. So I take the placemat, turn it upside down, and I draw this lighthouse. Yesterday, when we were in that restaurant, when the girl, the day before that, we were in a restaurant. And I'm drawing this, and the lady walks by, the waitress. She said, that's nice. Can I have it? I said, yes, you can have that, and you can have a testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have a gospel tract, and you may have this. She wanted it. She wanted it. We were in one in the Asbury Park area, and when we sat down to order our meal, the waitress came up and she said, I've been waiting for you to come in here. I've been waiting for 8 years. That's what she said. I've been waiting for 8 years. You're the one that drew that lighthouse picture. I've got it hanging up in the kitchen over here. Wow. And we look at it all the time. A Jewish lady. For God's, I write John 3:16, I write it out. Most of the time I have time and I haven't spilled my soup on it. For God so loved the world. And we write that out and people get it. Ma, who was the one lady there in Berlin? Who Mrs. Clark led to the Lord, and she came to church and rode the bus because she had gotten that. Now, not everybody can draw a picture. Anybody can draw better than mine, but you can do something that creates an interest in what you have. I wish I had a voice to sing. I mean, I'd be in the restaurant singing at the top of my lungs. If I do it, everybody leaves, or they ask me to leave. One or the other, and usually it's asked me to, you know. But we need to do something, okay? God has some great things. Things are being done. We travel, as the preacher said, in the Northeast, up and down the coast. And we have seen, with our own eyes, there is a stirring. I don't know if you've ever built a campfire. But if you don't have gasoline to pour it, and I don't recommend that at all. But if you don't have, you know, and you blow on it, a little smoke. Oh, a little smoke. Kids come around. Where's the, you keep blowing on it. You keep blowing on it. And there's a little smoke here tonight. This crowd for Sunday night is commendable. Wouldn't we like to see the empty spots filled? Amen. But praise God for what you got. Praise God for what you have. We faint not. Here in Nehemiah, the last verse, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Are you convinced of that? I don't know. I don't know if God's going to bless us like he blessed the churches years ago. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will rise and build. You're taking that step right now. You're tearing up carpet, putting different pews in, remodeling the auditorium. It makes a difference. God will honor that, and God will send you folks that you need to be ready to evangelize. You need to be ready to help them find the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you need to help them to stay with the Lord. They need to know that you love them. Uh-huh. I met a girl out at Hiles Anderson College, and I said, I love you. My wife was with me. The wrong idea. I met a girl out in the house and God said, I love you. No. I wanted her to know that folks from New Jersey were loving folks. She said, you don't even know me. I said, I'm commanded in Scripture to love you. Does not the Bible teach us to love one another? And yet, I would imagine some folks who are sitting on the right don't like the folks who are sitting on the left. The left don't like the people in the middle, and the middle don't like the people. No. We're to love one another. Amen? It's unconditional. Are you still with me? Okay? You still here? It's unconditional. It's not conditioned. Ma and I were married 53 years ago. We're in love. Well, No. It's unconditional. I don't know who got the better end of the deal. I'm going to start a family feud right here. But Ma, who got the better end of the deal? Who? She wants to get something on the way home. Yeah, right. Anyway, but our home's right outside. We're both convinced that we got the best end of the deal. Amen. You married couples, you better let your wife know that you got the best end of the deal, fellas. No. I go out and I make all the hay and I make all the money and I do all the work around here. All she does is sit and watch the soaps in the afternoon. Uh-huh. And let me say to you, man, if that's your problem, cut the wire. Come on now. Will a real man please stand up? I'm going to do that, Rev. I'm going to cut the wire. 3 weeks, we have a big screen pop-up TV in the motorhome. You push a button and it comes up from the counter. If you'd like to see for $5 a tour, you may see the pop-up. But it pops up, and it must be that wide, about that high. We ain't turning it on. We ain't watching it. We ain't looking at it. It's destroyed this country. Uh-huh. Well, why is he so mean? I can't live without watching that on Tuesday afternoon. It left right in the middle, and I got to find out what happened to Susie.
Is her name Susie?
Some of you are laughing like there's really a Susie there. I'm going to get to the Bible in a minute. I'm just unloading. We need to have some folks, once again, who are going to stand for righteousness. We faint not. Nehemiah, when he heard the bad news, he wept. He cried. He was brokenhearted. Would to God we'd given some brokenhearted Christians once again? And something would say, oh, I can't, oh my soul, what's happening in America today? We have become so familiar with it. The devil has gotten us so used to it that we don't get upset with it anymore. How do we get into the dilemma that we're in is because fundamental Bible-believing, God-loving, devil-hating Baptist folks didn't stand up and say, that's wrong. Amen. That's wrong. And if it was wrong 10 years ago, it's wronger today. That's not good. Is that good English, Ma? I get a D-. It's wrong today. But who wants to stand up and say something's wrong? Come on, Grandma. Those kids are so cute. I can't really correct them. I can't, they're so, you know, they'll grow up, just leave them alone. You know what I'm talking about. I can tell by your faces you're not exactly sure how to handle it. Like, we're going to keep a straight face, we're going to look guilty, so forth and so on. We need it. The church needs it. I thank God for what he's doing here. Amen? Now, oftentimes we'll say, I'm thanking God for what God be the glory. Aren't you excited about what God's doing here?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad he's called you up to the plate. You may not bat 1,000. Very few batters do. I don't think any of them. But if you're doing a good job, God's going to commend you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, turn your Bibles. You did that one verse for me, okay? Let me find some glasses here. Turn to Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 10. Title of the message, We Faint Not. If nothing else, when you put your head down on the pillow, we faint not. As a Christian man, we ought to say, we faint not. Christian lady, we faint not. We are not going to quit. We're not going to walk out on God. God found us here tonight. He's going to find us here Wednesday night. Well, we've got special, what do you call that? Special compensation? Special dispensation? Whatever it is. We got special from the Pope right there. And so anyway, normally we're going to be, every time those church doors are open, where are you going to be?
Yeah.
If you're physically, you're going to be in church.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching service, Sunday afternoon nursing home. You all go to nursing home? I stopped going to a nursing home because they wouldn't let me out. They thought I was a permanent resident. That's not the reason. I did have to stop because of health reasons. But anyway, we need to have that. Sunday night, don't even ask. Young people, Sunday night, just get in the car. Just get in the car. And sooner or later, they'll recognize, what happened to John? Where's Billy? Oh, I don't know. Where are they? They're sitting out in the car waiting for mom and dad to get in the car to take them to church. Ma, we had friends when we came in here. As soon as we told them, get out there and lock that motor home and start it up so we can jump in and go running. Some of you concern me because you're not smiling. Okay? Praise God for what you have. Praise God for what he wants us to have. Praise God that he's got blessings. And we need to say, we will not faint. Is this fresh water? Who? It's mine. We faint not. We taught our young people years ago, you don't quit. You don't quit. You don't stop. You don't lay it aside. We faint not. The accuracy of this story I'm going to tell you is a real event, but I don't have all the details in the right order sometimes and so forth and so on, so please excuse me. But there was this mom, and she had a young child, a young son, and it's some time ago, and it was back when, what do you call them, safety seats, car seats? They were very primitive, and you remember them. It just had a little loop. You put the child down in it, and you could just barely get it, you know. So forth and so on. That's the type of car seat it was. So mom put the little boy in that car seat. And it was raining, teeming rain, torrential rain, stormy rain, so forth and so on. But she went out shopping, like most women going shopping. So anyway, she put the child in there, and it started to rain, teeming rain, so forth and so on. And visibility became bleak. But she persisted on going, and she kept going. After the rain overflowed the little creek that runs around them drainage ditches and so forth. It was covering the road. And it became hard to tell where the road was and where that little drainage ditch was. And the rain kept coming down, but she lost conception of where that drainage ditch was. And so, unbeknown, she swerved off what she thought was, it was the road. She swerved over and got down into the drainage ditch. And it was you've had some of those storms recently around here where it just kept raining and raining and raining. Now the car is stuck. There's nobody around to help her. It's filling up with water. There's a 2-year-old boy in the back seat or front seat in that car seat. What are you going to do? We faint not. What are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make sure that 2-year-old boy is okay. We faint not. And as the story was told to me, she's out of the car, she's got the boy in her arms, and the water was coming up, not making it able to make her way to where it was safe. She's holding on to the child, and the water keeps coming up. We faint not. What are you going to do? Water came up. She finally grabbed the child and held it up where she was, where her face was, and it was still breathing. It was still out of the water. It still was safe. But as that water rose and the team rain, it rose. She had an option to do. What do you do with the child? We faint not. She took that child the best she possibly could and held it up over her head. As those, if you haven't been in one of these flash floods, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you've been in one of those, you have some feeling for what that mom felt like. Over. Shortly, fortunately, somebody came and got the child out of her arms, brought it over to, I'll say the shore, brought it over to the drier spot, gave it to somebody who was standing there, turned around to get the mom, and the mom was gone. We faint not. Mommy didn't faint. Mommy stayed by the stuff. We need some of God's children who say tonight, I'm going to stay by the stuff. I'm going to stay by. Not everything's gone my way. Everything's not been a bed of roses. But we didn't say anything when I look in the mirror. We faint not. I told that little story about somebody burning down a building. I had to say to my wife, what are we going to do? We faint not. What did she say to me? We faint not. What's going to happen? We faint not. We're going to rise and build the God of heaven. He'll prosper us. God has blessed. And if you go down to that piece of property right now, you'll find a gymnasium. You'll find a classroom and an inside auditorium, and you'll find a wing of classrooms. Why? Because for 38 years, somebody said, we faint not. We faint not. Isn't it nice to look at somebody who has a real nice structure? Beautiful building, hardwood floor, gymnasium. Uh-huh. I've been around there when it was a telephone pole and an old board up on it, and that was basketball. We faint not. We need some of God's children, all of God's children, to say, we're going to stay by the stuff. Amen. We're going to keep on keeping on. There's a blessing at the end of the road. I thank God tonight for my three girls. Three girls. KK, JJ, Dee Dee. Married preachers. We faint not. You know what that was like? To be raised in a home. We had 160 people live with us in our house called the ranch for 1 week or longer. That means they shared, my three girls shared what we had inside the house. And it wasn't always much, but shared the food, shared the goodies, shared mom and dad, so forth and so on. I'm saying that so you can, you know, because sometimes, well, preachers have always had it so easy. If they only stood out, if they could comprehend how easy we've had it, yeah. I mean, they'd all be jumping into the pasture. They'd all be coming, no. It's not that way, but we faint not. God meant it for good. My three girls, married preachers. The middle one, Miss J. How many of you know Miss J? Okay? She married Brother Charlie. I tried my best to talk her out of that. That was supposed to be funny. I'll hold up a little sign that says laugh. Okay? But let me go on. We faint not. Where are you at? Very good. 24 and verse 10. If thou faint in a day of adversity, thy strength is small. We will not faint. We have visited a good number of churches here in the Northeast, 270 some odd churches. And some of them are closed doors almost. And the people are fainting. People are fainting. They're stepping aside. This crowd right here needs to say, we faint not. It may get rough, it may get tough, it may get hard, but we're not going to faint. We're not going to step aside. We're going to rise and build. Again, I'm going to say that verse. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build. We faint not. Let me tell you, number one, you have a ministry. I jotted some things down. Are you still with me? Are you sure? Positive. Double sure. Double sure. Good. Psalm 100 and verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Isn't it good that you can do something for God? Aren't you glad that you can do something for God? And I jotted down here with this idea of we faint not. We have this ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, therefore we will not faint because we have this ministry. You have a ministry as part of this church. You have a ministry. Every ministry that's here in this place is of importance. And whether I jotted these down, and if you may not have this concept of the ministry, but let me say this, this is the ministry, and you cannot faint in this ministry. Number one, we witness. How about that? That's a ministry. We faint not. Get the gospels out. We faint not. We sing. Amen? We sing. We faint not. We have this ministry. We clean. We clean. We got one amen out of that. One amen out of that. Well, let somebody, I'm too dignified to do it. Took 6 months to clean up the ashes out of that building. 6 months. Most of that work was done by my family, church families, so forth and so on. And I had a spirit, we'd take a wheelbarrow up on what we call the deck, and then down a set of stairs, and up into one of the dumpsters like you have outside there. We had a little ramp that went down, and then you get it going fast enough, then it would come back up. I'm there by myself. I filled that thing up with that black ash. I got it running down that thing. And if you know anything about a wheelbarrow, a lot of them have that little band that goes around the front wheel.
Oh, no.
Hell, yes. Yes. My regret was that there was nobody there to laugh at me. Because I ran down that, and I hit that. And you know what happens to your body? Body's in motion, stay in motion. You know that law of science? My body stayed in motion. And there I am, literally, looking down into that pit of ash. And the thought went through my mind, I wish somebody was here to laugh at me. I just wish that I could cause happiness because I'm going to be a mess. Boom. Down in those ashes. I went. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? I think every once in a while God gets a little bit tired. You know, that little thing like that instead of this. Yeah. It gets just a little bit tired. New Jersey folks and Pennsylvania folks and New York folks are not known for being happy. And I said, well, blame it on the environment. We blame it on the culture. We don't blame it on that. S-I-N. Maybe one of the reasons we're not happy. We sang a song. We are happy people. We ought to be happy people. God's been real good to you. God's been real good to me. All right, so we have this ministry. We wrote down here, we clean, we teach, we repair. These are things that we do in the church. We share, we visit, we eat, we eat, we eat,
amen.
We eat. It's a Baptist church, we eat,
yeah.
We eat, we eat. And if it's a Baptist church, we give, and we give, and we give, and we give. We taxi, we shuffle people back and forth. We work, amen. We pay, amen. We cut grass. Volunteers. Amen. It looked good. I pulled in the driveway. The first thing that came through my mind when I came in the driveway, the grass looks good. The grass, it looked good. Amen. Have you noticed? It looks good. I don't know who cut it, but somebody will say to the persons or persons who cut it, it looks good.
Amen.
Did you cut it? Hey, that was good. Did you? That looked good. Praise God. You had the help to do it. To God be the glory. We cut, we play. Amen. We help. We sit, we greet, we drive people back and forth. And we say amen.
Amen.
We say amen.
Amen.
We're working on it. We're getting good. We say amen. That means you strongly agree with the word of God and what's being said from the word of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Right here. You know sign language? I was in Jersey City teaching. And that sign, the deaf folks sat on this side and the hearing folks sat on that side. And I came in one time and I was preoccupied and the deaf folks wanted to know, where's your happy? Where's your happy? They're sitting over there going. And I was preoccupied. But they knew I wasn't smiling. So if the deaf folks know that, the hearing folks also know it. And you hand them a tract. You know, church is doing great. We're excited about what God's doing in our church. Looking like you just came from the doctor or the dentist. Where's your happy? Where's your happy? Amen. Amen. You know how you can tell a Yankee from a rebel from a Yankee? The rebels have these little wrinkles here from smiling so much. From the day they were born with a smile on their face. But you Yankees don't like that. You're afraid to look in the mirror. First time I said I was joking, Mom. Now I'm serious. Get that motorhome running so I can run out there and jump in and be on my way. We're not known for being happy people, are we?
That's right.
We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. God's blessed us. God's been good to us. We should be happy.
Amen.
How would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? You got that ugly puss on your face. I'm not talking to you. That was terrible. You know, we need to show the joy of the Lord. You know that little chorus? The joy of the Lord is what?
My strength.
He fills my mouth with laughter. Amen. We'll not sing that song anymore for this moment. In your Bible, turn with me someplace. Any place is all good. I jotted it down so I wouldn't forget it. It's called Rambling with Reb. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. I'm there. It'll take you just a moment to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We looked at chapter 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint not. We have a ministry. We faint not. We have a cause. There's a reason. There's a reason why God's children ought to be doing something like what you're doing and keep pressing on the upward way. Gain new heights every day. Pressing as you're onward bound, ask the Lord to plant your feet on higher ground. There is a cause. For which cause? We faint not. Children, we are tired tonight, are we not? Amen? If you're not, I am, okay? I'm young at heart, and I'm tired. We faint not. One of the reasons we cannot afford to faint in our church here is because of the young people.
Yeah.
The young people. Now, I am getting older. I know that's hard for you to believe. Would you not? I know you two are not. You're staying young. Amen. And I'll pick out some other people who are staying. The preacher, he's staying young. He doesn't look a day over 90. You laugh at that or something. We faint not. For which cause we faint not. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's exciting to be born again, to be saved and on your way to heaven. And the lost and dying world needs to know that. We faint not. There's a cause. And for this cause, we faint not. There's a cause. It's our children. The Bible says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Thank God for young people. Thank God. And the devil has attacked our young people in this nation. And if you're over or under 60 or 70, the devil's attacked you in your youth. The devil knew what was going to be happening in a God-fearing nation, and he attacked you when you were 7 or 17 or 27. The Beatles didn't get here by mistake. The devil sent them over. Elvis didn't do his gyrations. The devil sent him over. The devil sent him here, not over. He was already here. We need to step back and say, wait. This is a God-fearing nation. And that stuff ain't good. That's not good English, but that stuff ain't good. And my grandma, grandpa, you ought to tell them little squirts, it's not good. We don't listen to that stuff. We don't watch that stuff. America's been damned many ways, and one of the ways is the idiot box. Would you agree? I'm trying to say kind and polite and proper, but we need more than a nod of the head.
Amen.
Not a little for sale sign, because you don't want to pass your corruption off onto somebody else.
Amen.
Brother Gilmore, I'm going to tell folks I preached in your pulpit twice, my first and last time. But we need to. Is it not worth it? Where do you think these young people pick up all the crazy ideas they have? And now we'll say, preach, but we need to put some feet to our preaching and say, that's just not happening. I have seen, and I've been around a little bit, of what's happening in America, what's happening in our nation. And I'm sure you're not satisfied with it. But we need to get out of a closet and put them folks who belong in a closet, pad and key there, and we need to come back out of the closet. See, when we were out of the closet, we didn't do what God wanted us to do.
Right.
We enjoyed the latitude and freedom that God never intended for us to take it the direction which was taken. We faint not. Thank God there's a place here with a bunch of folks who say, we're going to stand for what's right. We're going to praise the Lord, and we're going to fight the devil. We're going to keep on doing that. We faint not. Our children are worth fighting for. Amen? Solid Rock, Christian Day School. Solid Rock has an active college. 38 years, Open Door had our Liberty Christian School. Still has Christian school. Still has a desire to get the Word of God out. Raise it up. We faint not. We faint not. Preacher, my concern for you is, where are you going to put all the people? You're putting in a new pew. Where are you going to put them? The people are going to pack the pews. Amen. You're looking at me like somebody looks at a new gate or something. I don't know what that means, but yeah. We're going to invite somebody to church on Sunday? Yeah, I'm a little bit excited about right now, but tonight when I hit my head on that pillow and I wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. No. Well, I ask people and they never come. How many times were you asked before you came? A good number of times? Don't you think somebody else deserves a good, faithful showing on our part? Let's go on. We faint not. We have this cause. We have our children. We have our church. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and what? These folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. Thank God for the victories that you've had. Thank God for the good things that he's done for you. Thank God for the trials and tribulation. Thank God for the building burnt down. Thank God for the heartaches and the griefs and along the way. Because you know, if you never had a problem, how would you know that Jesus could solve them? There is a cause, your church. There is a cause, our country. I wrote down in my notes that little song, God Bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From what? The mountains to the prairies? God wants to bless America, but he's looking, I believe he's looking for a people to say, here, use me. Use me, Lord. Use me. Use me. We need some old-fashioned excitement in our churches once again. Not since that, but excitement. You've been married for 10 years. What happened to the excitement? Been married for 15 years. What happened to the excitement? Been married for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 53 years. It's exciting. You got to be kidding me. No. We need to keep the excitement in our church. Somebody said to me recently, here's a way you can stay young. One of my models is stay young, don't ever get old. You hear me? Stay young, don't ever get old. How do you do that? You keep your enthusiasm. You keep your dynamics. Keep your enthusiasm. You'll stay young. Number two, take your calendar, and whatever month you're born in, get rid of that. Tear it off. And it's just not there anymore, and you're not going to get old. And then after a while, some of us old-timers will use being old for an excuse. Well, I don't know if I can put the garbage out anymore. Where's my grandson? Come on, put the garbage out. Put it down and beat it with your cane. Use it like a golf club. Whack it away. We faint not. Our country needs to get back to the rights. We need revival. And we'll say that, but we need to put some feet to that. America needs revival. Any opportunity that you have to perpetrate that, to send that message out, you need to be born again. Amen. I'm assuming that because you're in church tonight, you're saved. Is that a good assumption? Now, some of you may not be, and I'm not the judge. But you make sure before this time is over, before you put your head down on the pillow, that you've been born again. Doesn't have to be in the church. You know that little song, it was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. It was on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Some of us with bad memories, it was on a someday. Somebody touched me. But if you have a very keen wife, then she'll remember on what day it was. It was a Friday afternoon, somewhere between 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon at North College of Engineering. I got saved. I got born again in a secular college. We need to know that. We need to let a lost and dying world know. I asked, what time is it? We don't know. Who? Is that good or bad? Can we take a vote? All of you. I missed that, but it must have been good because you got. We faint not. One more time in your Bible. Let me say, this country deserves a group of people like you are multiplied into a lost and dying world. When you look at somebody, don't you think that that person would be a whole lot better off having the joy of the Lord that you have? And you don't do well by not giving it to them, by not telling them about it. They ought to have the joy of the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 13, and with this I will wind down. Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God's been so good. You say, well, you never had any heartaches. You never had any trials. You never had any problems. I preached for 13 months, if you'd allow me to do this, but I preached this way. I put my foot in the brackish water down in the Delaware Bay, which had a bacteria in it. I had a little nick in the side of my foot, and I contacted a flesh-eating bacteria, and it ate 70% of my leg. And I wasn't going to miss preaching. And so I preached. It was less time than that. It wasn't 13 months, was it? Asking my nurse. It was a while. And I got so used, one night I was preaching, and I forgot it was my leg. You know, you get used to it after a while. And I looked down. It was, where did that come from? You know, you want to pick it up and move. It's still me. It's not wood or artificial. But I said as a testimony, God's good. God's good. God's good. God's good. You've got a story. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't have a story. A lost and dying world needs to know your story. Yeah, but it's not really. It's a story. God's done something. You know where you could have been? Where you might have been? Yeah. God's been good. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Faith is our confidence in God's ability to do just what he said he would do. Well, that was rambling with Rev. Somewhere, somehow, some way, something may have been said from behind this sacred desk, and I appreciate the man of God who has faithfully stood behind this pulpit, looking at you, breaking concern about your heart. Let the preacher know how much you love him. Let each other know how much you love him. We're militant fundamentalists. That doesn't mean we're mean and nasty. That means we're loving and kind. We believe what the Bible teaches us. And we're going to say we're not going to faint. For the sake of the young lady sitting there, for the sake of the young lady sitting down here, we cannot afford to faint. Take a stand tonight. Do something with your life for God. My wife has often said, Rev, you have one message. You say one thing over and over. She listens to me all the time. You say the same thing over and over again. Billy Sunday's wife said the same thing. You know Billy Sunday? You ever hear Billy Sunday? Huh? Ocean Grove Auditorium, 10,000-seat auditorium. Billy Sunday would preach down there all the time, so forth and so on. One night after services, Sunday school, pre-Sunday school, service, Sunday school service, morning preaching, afternoon services, and all that went on up until and they went back to the room, and he's getting ready to retire, and he starts complaining to to his wife. And she finally interrupts him. She said, Billy, stop. You think you're tired. About time you feel sorry for me. I had to sit there through all those sermons and listen to you. You follow that? So my dear wife is sitting back there. She heard one this morning. She didn't hear one this afternoon. She heard one. She'll say, I'm tired. I'll say, I'm tired. No, I had to listen to you. But her idea is, do something for God. Do, she says, Rev, that's all you ever preach. Do something for God. 12,000 messages since I stood behind the sacred desk. Nursing home, different places, and so forth. So I told them over there. What does it say? Do something for God. I could have stood up here for 5 minutes and said, do something for God, and sat down. But I hope with all the rambling, you got something that will say, I'm going to do something with my life for God. I've been doing something, but I'm going to do something more. Find out from the preacher what he needs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless these of your folks. Speak to their hearts in the way.